As he said, from Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River, from the desert beyond the Jordan all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, I'm going to give it to your descendants. That was the border that God promised to Abraham. So we're looking at the first mention so we can get an idea what in the world Jabez was referring to, so we can understand how we can pray. Folks, I assert to you, if we can get our church members praying this prayer for you, your family, and your church, watch out. Amen? Well, let's carry it a little farther. As we look at this first mention, let's look at Genesis 28. Now we have Jacob. Genesis 28, this promise is repeated now to Jacob. And notice it takes a little different form in Genesis 28. This is the beautiful story of Jacob's dream, and he saw the ladder. Please look, if you would, at verse 14. I got to do 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it, the ladder, and said, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. See? Okay, now notice, your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Ah. So we see, as we go back and look in Scripture and find exactly what Jabez is talking about, we begin to get an idea of what is allowable for us to be praying for and what God had in mind. Please notice here that he now includes the north, south, east, west, not just the Egypt border and the Euphrates River and the Mediterranean Sea and the desert beyond the Jordan. We are pushing much farther than that. And by the way, if your Bible is like my Bible, I want you to know that the last of verse 14 says, and in you and your descendants shall all the families of earth be blessed. It really is singular, in you and in your seed or your descendant, which of course is Jesus Christ, will all the families of earth be blessed. Well, we got to do one more, Exodus 23, and clarify this just a little bit more, and then let's apply it. Genesis 23. And notice that all three of these texts predate the text we're looking at in 1 Chronicles 4. That's how you go back and try to find out what a phrase means if you don't understand, by looking where it's mentioned first. And now we see the promise given to Israel. And here it is in Exodus 23, and we're going to start with verse 31. In fact, let me start with 30. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. And I will fix your boundaries from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness of the river Euphrates. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or with any of their gods. They shall not live in your land, lest they make you sin against me. Or if you serve their god, it will surely be a snare to you. And so here we see what he's talking about when he says, increase my borders. Now, please remember, in part one, we discovered that Jabez lived in the time of the judges. And that was just after the death of Joshua. And Joshua's job was to give the inheritance of the land of Canaan to the Israelites, the 12 tribes. But if you notice the text I just read in verse 30, this is really fantastic, folks. They did not take possession of all the land at once. The Lord said, I will allow you to take possession slowly but surely. In fact, it goes on to say, because if you take it, if I give it all to you at once, it'll turn to to thorns and thistles and brambles because you can't handle it. So slowly but surely, as you conquest the land, I will give it over to you. And the wild animals will be driven out. The people will be driven out. Just don't make a deal with them. And guess what the Israelites did, folks? Guess what they did? They didn't do it. They didn't obey God. In fact, there's stories in there. I wish we had the time to go to Joshua, where Joseph, the tribe of Joseph, came along with Manasseh. And they said, hey, our land isn't big enough. We want more. And Joshua said, hey, take the mountain that I gave you, the mountain full of wood. And they said, yeah, it's easy for you to say, but they're full of Canaanites and they got chariots of iron. And Joshua looked at him and said, hey, the Lord said He'll do a deal with them for you. But guess what they did? They got chariots of iron. We're not going after it. And so we got Jabez in a time when people were not calling upon the name of the Lord. And the reason he was more honorable than his own brothers, as well as his own church family, was because he called upon the name of the Lord. And in it he had the boldness to ask that the promise God made to Abraham, the promise He made to Jacob, the promise He made to Moses would be realized in his prayer. That You promise this land. You promise that we could influence the people around us. You promise that if we came to You and asked to be a blessing to all the families of the earth, You would use us for such. I am now claiming that promise. So to make a long story short, because we need to, first and foremost, Jabez recognized that our purpose of existence is to be a blessing and an influence to those people around us, and we are to ask Him to increase our influence and our blessing to the people around us. Case closed. But let me tell you something. For some of you, you've been given 10 talents. And those 10 talents qualify you to make 10 more talents. And God's given you a better ability than me in that area, and you're to use it for the Lord. You're to use your intelligence, your wealth, your position, your power, and influence for Jesus. You are not to go to business and act like all the rest of the world for 6 days a week and then come here piously in your $500 suit. And maybe put $5 in the offering plate. Now you can do it. And God may even answer a prayer when you're in a desperate situation. But I want you to know that you're not being Jabez. God wants individuals who walk out of this church and act out there just the way they do in here. And when a business deal goes down and it's Sabbath, you say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. What are you, crazy? This could bring $50 million into our organization. This could make you a multimillionaire. Yes, it's the Lord's Sabbath, though. You see, I'm not going to do it. And they're going to go, oh. How can you believe that in a day like today? What religion do you belong to? But I'm afraid we're more like the men and women of Jabez's day, when it says they sold out to the Lord and no one was calling upon the name of the Lord. And so when he says, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and increase my borders, he may have been talking about property, but he was talking about for the purpose of influence, for the purpose of witness, for the purpose of testimony, for the purpose of showing Jesus to be stronger than any urge or temptation or any attraction or allurement on this face of the earth. Men and women who stand up for principle, even though it appears to make them weak, appears to weaken their position, appears to even cause them to lose financial gain. They stood up for principle. Ah, yes, so if you think I'm going to say it's a sin to be rich, you're wrong. The sin is if you don't use your riches the way God gave you the gifts of talent to use them for, to be a blessing to other people and to increase your influence. But please notice for every single person in the church, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, we are told that the purpose of pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers is to equip the church members to do the work of ministry and to build up the body of Jesus Christ. That's increasing the influence. And by the way, I got so excited I left my book. I was going to hold my book up here. In fact, I saw somebody, Joy. Joy, you got your book right there, don't you? Lift it up, Joy. That's the book, The Jabez Prayer. In that book, you know, and I'm hoping you go to Costco. It's the cheapest at Costco. Look, I priced it all over. Go to Costco. It's cheap. Cheaper. And in that book, it tells stories on how individuals said, Lord, increase my border right now, as they're walking down the street. And all of a sudden, somebody walks up and says, do you believe in God? I mean, do you realize that there's no one in this congregation that can't try that? Right? Now, don't be satisfied with just that, but test and see if it isn't good. If we had a church praying the Jabez Prayer every day for themselves, for their family, and for this church, watch out. Because notice, the first statement was, oh, that you would bless me indeed. It is right to ask for blessings, favor from the Lord. And then it is right to ask that your borders be increased. If you're a successful businessman, it's right to ask to be a more successful businessman. Just make sure Jesus is number one in your life. He'll tell you what to do with your extra income. For the rest of us, it's to work to build up the body of Christ and to be available to our fellow workers that we work beside every day to answer any question or to offer any encouragement or hope that we can when they come up to us and say something that opens the door instead of hiding our Christianity and maybe even being a little ashamed. And please, brothers and sisters, I want to verify this. Till my dying day, Adventists were not called into existence to straighten people out theologically. We were called into existence to be a blessing to people. And then when they ask you about theology, we will then straighten them out. Not first. Second. Except I, Pastor Tech, how neat it would be to go to a place in North America where they're saying, we want to know why you don't eat pork and why you go to church on Sabbath. Man, would I love that. Wouldn't that be neat? In the meantime, as a church, we can kneel down and we can say, Lord, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Oh, that thou would bless my family. And Lord, please bless my church. And oh, Lord, you would increase my borders this day. And by the way, increase the borders of my family. And by the way, Lord, increase the borders of my church. We begin to pray that God's going to start answering. And not only that, some of you are going to see that He's already been doing that for you. You just didn't have a name on it. You weren't mentally aware of it. It's going on. And once you're mentally aware of it, you can capitalize in far greater and expand it more. But according to the valid principle of Bible study, going to first mention, we see what Jabez had in mind when he said, enlarge my borders, expand my boundaries. And it's time that we as Christians, especially in these last days, step up to the plate and claim it. Now, how in the world does that relate to Noah? Well, I want to tell you, just the other day, I always read through different Bibles. When I'm done with one, I try a different version. And it's amazing the insights you get. And I'm reading through this new version of the Bible. I won't tell you which one it is. Some of you will gasp in horror. It's legitimate, but... And I read this, and all of a sudden it hit me. I never saw this before. Did you notice it says that God was... He said, I repent that I made these people. I'm going to wipe them out, He says. But then did you ever notice He said, I'm going to wipe out all the animals too. And I'm going to wipe out all the birds too. I never even noticed that before. And I thought, wait a minute. He didn't wipe out all the animals. And then I looked at verse 8. And it says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And suddenly a thought occurred to me. Because of the existence of Noah, God could not express the emotions on his heart. But instead, he had to save the birds and the animals and as many men in 120 years who had come to their senses. And God intended 120 years to reach everyone because of one man. And Noah must have been praying that his borders would be increased. And God delayed his condemnation. And the whole world could have been saved. One man. Now you see what it has to do. Let's pray. Father, help us to ponder these thoughts. Pastor Tech's presentation and this beautiful prayer, they go together because there are people here and people way over there that need workers, individual, and means so that they can hear the gospel before their life on this earth ends and before Jesus returns. Please help us. Help us to understand these issues. And help us, Lord, to live them according to your will. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.